Boy, you know, Jesus has got a lot to say in Luke's gospel, and thank God for Dr. Luke as reporting all these situations and teachings with Jesus. Just a review of chapter 14, Jesus healing again on the Sabbath, talking about humility, the story of the great feast, and today, the cost of being a disciple. Bonhoeffer wrote a wonderful book, Cheap Grace. He was talking about cheap grace, and he indicated in that book about what it costs to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Picking up the story in Luke 14, 25 through 33, New Living Translation. Great crowds were following Jesus, and he turned around and he said to them, red letter edition all the way through to the end of the chapter, if you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And you cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first getting estimates and then checking to see if there was enough of money to pay the bill? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of funds, and then how would everyone? Oh, yeah, they would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and ran out of money before it was finished. Or, what king would ever dream of going to war without first sitting down with his counselors and discussing whether his army of 10,000 is strong enough to defeat 20,000 soldiers who are marching against him? If he is not able, then while the enemy is still far away, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace. So, no one can be my disciple without giving up everything for me. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good, neither for the soil nor for fertilizer. It is thrown away, and anyone who is willing to hear should listen in understanding. I love that. Because in the book of Revelation and other places, Jesus would say, those with ears hear what the Spirit is saying. Well, I entitled my message this week, The Potter's Secret. I think many of us have, in our time, in our life, made some terrible mistakes that we grew to regret. I know I have. How many of us has undergone some of the trauma and upheaval that caused by excruciating pain? How many of us wish at one time or another that we could go back in time and erase just one little tiny pesky thing that haunts you and make it right so that your mind can be at peace? Well, I have good news for you. Your life is not set in stone. Your past does not have to dictate your life, your success, or your happiness. With God, you'll always have a perpetual second chance. Wow, that is some good news. Now, I don't mean one more chance. I mean a slurry of chances, more than we could ever possibly want or need. And it's no mistake that in the scripture that I read today, one of the most popular metaphors is clay. It's interesting, in ancient Israel, and even today, when we had been to Israel and doing different things, they make pots out of the same clay type of material. They use the same ancient little spinning wheels. It's fascinating. But in ancient Israel, during both the Iron and the Bronze Ages, working with clay was vital to the community viability. Pots were important for storing food and drink, and lamps even. Tableware, cookware. Every household had some pottery. Pottery was fairly easy to make. Then and even now, once fired, lasted a lifetime. In fact, when they do archaeology digs, that's what they find. Sometimes pottery 2,000-3,000 years old. It's an amazing and durable product, pottery. But even today, one of the first things that archaeologists find in any dig are ancient sites or pottery sherds, because then they put it back together and they try to see what things were like through the centuries. So a potter was an important trade. Every town had a potter. The potter's house lay outside the city walls and usually down the valley, where the potter not only had his clay and wheels, but several kilns, like an outdoor fire pit, and how they would fire the pottery to make it hard, and black smoke filled the air. You know, it's something you didn't want in the city itself, so they built their little buildings and so forth to do that outside the city because of the smoke. Well, creating a piece of pottery began with softening and preparing the clay. Because the clay would be dug up, it would have impurities, which first had to be removed, along with any foreign objects that might be in there, you know, stones or bones or anything else. And then the clay would be tempered and kneaded. This was done by the feet sometimes, and much of those creating wine would stomp also the grapes. Assistance to the potter would knead with their feet until the clay became soft and pliable. Then the potter would take it and shape it into his double wheel made of stone and wood. With just the right amount of water, the potter would shape the clay with his hands until he created the desired object. And then he would allow it to dry until it became hard and leathery. At that point, he would fire it, put it in the kiln. Once tried by fire, the piece would become invincible. So if the potter didn't like the piece that he was making, and it didn't come out the way he intended or the way he wanted to, he'd reform it into a different shape. He could simply deform it, re-knead it, re-water it, and the clay would be good as new. Now, that's the secret of clay. It can always be remade. And no matter how hard it gets, and no matter where it cracks into 100 pieces, and whether it's a decade old or whether it's been used or discarded, that clay can be softened, watered, reformed into whatever the potter desires. Clay is always restorable, and the potter decides its fate. Now, there's a Hebrew word for potter, and it's yatsar, and one who forms. You can see now why metaphors of clay and potter are so important in Scripture. Of course, God is always the potter, and we are always the clay. God molded us from our conception, and He can remold us with His powerful, creative hands whenever God desires. And whether God restores us, or whether God changes us, or whether God puts us out into the dry, depends on our needs, our resistance, and our hope that God has for us in this world where we live. Now, the Old Testament reading this week is out of the prophet Jeremiah again, and Jeremiah tells us in his lesson about sovereignty of God. The potter is in charge and can mold your life whichever way God believes will be good for you and good for God's people who are around you. God's will be done. And if those who choose God to carry out God's mission are not willing to give up all the things and concentrate on God's desires, and if you don't do that, then God will work to create another vessel who will. God will always find a way. And God can work with anyone, anytime that He chooses, and God does. So what does that have to do, preacher? You always go off on these tangents and this and that. What's that got to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ for the day and time we live in? Well, Jesus knows that His discipleship path is rough. He knows that it's not going to be an easy ride, followers of Christ. He needs His disciples to think seriously about what they are taking on. Disciples of the day when Jesus walked the earth, and disciples of the day that live in our day and time. Because when we become a disciple of Christ, we can't go back. Because Jesus' mission would get nowhere if he had chosen people who gave up at the first sign of trouble or people who would balk at every turn. He needed them to know what was coming. He needed them to sign up with open eyes. He needed them to walk the walk and talk the talk, even when it led to the cross. If they couldn't do that, he just showed them the door. You know, shake the dust off your feet and keep on trucking. But once they were on board, their lives would change. Not only would they need to leave their families behind and their houses and their possessions, their livelihood and all the comforts that they had. Oh yeah, even years ago there was comforts in life. But they would also need to see the personality, spirituality, conceptions of God and Scripture change. They were signing up to be a place on the potter's wheel. They were signing up to be molded and reformed and reimagined, reborn into a formidable, indestructible kind of disciple who would carry out God's most dangerous and exciting missions. Wow. These 12 and any others who sign up would agree to be remade. Wow. What would it cost? What would it cost you or me that we just gave up everything and followed Christ? Well, it would mean everything. What would you get in return? Oh, think about it. What would you get in return? Eternity. Eternal life with Almighty God. Well, today sometimes we just think of discipleship. We think of some of the fun mission trips and ministry, Bible studies, Christian education, worship, our spiritual disciplines. But we don't come close to what Jesus had in mind. So what did Jesus have in mind? What kind of discipleship would look like today? Well, as Jesus said to the crowds back then, you need to renounce everything you've known and understood for your entire life. Be willing to let go of everything familiar and leave it all behind. You need to be willing to stand tall while others scoff and disagree with you. You need to carry the weight of the world upon your shoulders and be willing to go against the grain. Wow, that's a big, big challenge. And then you need to sit down and look at the state of your world and your community and make sure you understand what exactly needs to be done. And then to make sure that you're ready to sign on the dotted line until the job is done. I think it's no wonder that Jesus only had 12 in his inner posse, don't you think? Well, he had 12, quickly went to 11, and now there is 2-point-some-odd billion. Those were only the ones willing to go to that extreme. Discipleship isn't easy. In fact, discipleship is hard. If it was easy, everybody would do it hands down. Oh yeah, here I am. I want to be a disciple. But discipleship, by its nature, demands your full attention and your full devotion. Can any of us truly put our life into God's hands? Can we truly let go of everything that we want and all of our agendas and all of our thoughts and attitudes and our certainties of life and let God remake you into a missional tool used to feed the world with love and faith and truth? God is our grand potter, and he is ready at the wheel to remake your life into something spectacular. You have a past you want to forget? Give it to God. Have hurts that want to be healed? Give it to God through Christ at the grace of the Holy Spirit. Have mistakes and brokenness needing repair? Yeah, you can handle that too. Looking for a new chance in life? Boy, oh boy, I know what it's like. I keep getting new chances every day. And those of us who follow Christ know exactly what I'm talking about. We have new challenges and new life every day as we continue on to that blessed hope of eternity. So let God take the wheel, the potter's wheel, if you would, and just be prepared to come out different than when you went into it. Well, That is really something. And I thank you for letting me come every week and give you a little idea of what the message is going to be on Sunday morning. Going to be very similar, but just a little bit different. But for the most part, it's God's message, not mine. So I want to say a prayer. You say a prayer. We should all pray together that we are all willing to let God remake not only your life, but plant seeds in the people and show others how God can change their life, can remold them and reshape them. You know, there is hope. And when we lose hope, that's the challenge. But we can say, Lord, put me back on that potter wheel. I know I'm nothing but clay. In fact, we were made out of dust. So that's where clay come from, out of the dirt of the earth. So, he can mold us and shape us. Well, I hope and pray you have a good day. I'm just rambling a little bit this morning, but it's such an important message, an important thing to listen to the teachings of Jesus. He lays it on the line, and where the rubber hits the road, he gives us clues about not only this life, but the life to come. God bless you, and may God keep you safe until we meet again.